comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and to my right in Studio B, he is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther.
Hey.
Mike, welcome back to the house.
Thank you.
Always a good time.
It's always good to be back.
You're looking at the, I gotta say, of all the walls in the house, you're looking at the most boring walls.
I mean, didn't there used to be stuff hanging on these walls, or was there never?
Never.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been here since we've lived here, and, you know, I don't recall there ever being anything on these walls. It's just Greg's little recording corner with nothing on the walls to dampen the sound. No soundproof, no soundproofing. Hardwood floors.
Great for podcasting.
Fantastic sound quality.
I've heard worse.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll have that from time to time.
Yeah.
Anyway, what you been up to? Busy week for Mike?
I actually taught less this week.
And worked out more.
I did work out. I worked out before I came here.
Thank God. You know what that means.
I worked out. Yes. I'm allowed to, you know, partake in a beverage or two.
Four.
Yeah. I managed to work out, and then I went to get groceries as well. My goal is not, probably not tonight, but I want to try and make, I don't know if it's called country fried steak or chicken fried steak. I don't know if there's much of a difference.
There's, I think, I mean, I don't think, I don't, I'm not Southern enough to know the difference. I think we call it country fried steak and chicken fried chicken.
Okay, then it's country fried steak.
Okay.
I got the recipe for it. I think I got all the ingredients for it.
You got the potatoes for the homemade mashed potatoes?
Actually, you know what's funny is the recipe I have. It tells you how to make the country fried steak and then the gravy. And then part of the gravy is, it says mashed potatoes for the side. But no, I do not have mashed potatoes.
Are you going to make your own gravy, like from scratch? Or are you
I'm
going
to try.
It's not hard. I've done it.
They have instructions.
Even better. I mean, look, the internet's great.
Yes.
Like, if there's anything that I want that I didn't grow up with, like if I grew up with it, I'm texting my mom, I need the recipe for such and such.
Right.
You know, and then 10 minutes later, I'm going to have that recipe, and it's going to be great. Thanks, Mom, for the breakfast casserole. You're the best. But if it's something that, like, we didn't really ever do even biscuits and gravy much at my house.
Right.
So if I'm feeling lazy, yeah, I'm going to get the little pre-made pack from the grocery store. But when I'm feeling bougie,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make my own gravy. And it's not hard. It's really just milk, flour, pepper.
Yeah. I made, not that long ago, I made my own sausage gravy.
Yeah, I mean, same. Yeah,
it's the same pretty much.
I think so.
Yeah. But this one, it's not sausage gravy. It's, probably what you explained. But only thing I made. All right. Does that mean quiet down there?
I don't know. You heard it too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
We might have to move the studio back to the kitchen table and not be like not directly underneath my sleeping son.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
not tonight because we're already starting.
It's too late now.
I just got lazy and I'm like, we'll be fine here.
It might be easier just to move the room.
Yeah. There we go.
You know.
I mean. Depending, I mean, sometimes he's gonna fall asleep in my bed anyway.
Yeah,
watching cartoons or something, and just not tonight. Tonight was not one of those nights. So, but anyway, back to the gravy.
So I think I got all the ingredients, and then one thing I realized I don't have, and I don't think it's gonna matter that much, but I don't have kosher salt. I have regular salt.
Like, do you have like iodized salt?
I don't know. Whatever regular salt, the thing in the Morton's can.
Yeah, you're going to want to take my salt with you.
Okay.
Well, it's not kosher, but it's sea salt, and it's a sea salt grinder.
Oh, I used to have one of those. I don't think I do anymore, no.
It's the only way I use salt anymore.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I grind my own.
I used to get blocks of salt
and chip away.
Chip away at it.
I used to work in the salt mine.
I remember that. They called you Old Greg Salt Mine.
That's why my hands are so dry.
Yes.
That's why. Oh, we got a fun show for you. Before we get going and all of our goodness.
Before you go on, I'd like to look at the time. There's no way we've been talking this long.
No, because we did the video.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And there was all the space in between.
That's right. Okay.
Like, we've only been going about 5 minutes.
That's what I thought. I was like, wow, there's no way.
Deep breaths. Anyway, pretend that like the 17 and a half minute mark is
that's
zero.
The start.
Yeah, give it
okay.
A
yeah, I got you.
So before you came over, you know, I work a physically demanding job, and, you know, I like to shower. So you're welcome.
Thank you.
I just was going to listen to some music in the shower this time rather than watching Netflix or something. Shut up. And so I put on 90s alternative on Pandora.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's the music we grew up with. And the first song was straight out. I mean, it was the quintessential 90s. It was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. The next song, however, was very reminiscent of when I was like had Christmas music playing in December and a Billy Joel song popped up, like one of his hits from the 80s that was not like, hey, I'm going to, you know, play a little Christmas tune.
Right.
But it was, again, on my 90s alternative station was the Eagles, Hotel California.
Okay.
Great song.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, easily one of the best, like, storytelling songs, you know, and it's memorable, iconic. You hit those first few notes on the guitar and... I think it was a live version too. So
okay,
the crowd knew what was up. I knew what was up. And then my shower was done, and it was like, I want to listen to the Eagles now. I initially wanted to listen to 90s alternative, but apparently Pandora, had something else in mind. So I went to YouTube for a specific song. Have you ever heard of a Seven Bridges Road?
Doesn't sound familiar.
It's like a 3-minute song. There's a little bit of guitar, or I think guitar, maybe banjo, and it's all just vocals, harmony and melody, things like that. And I first heard of that song when I was working at a classic rock station down in Southeast Missouri years ago. It wasn't one that was on my radar before. I mean, I knew about the Eagles, but I went from there. I can remember I started listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Now I'm, within 10 minutes, I'm at Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Southern Cross.
Okay.
And I'm just like, what the hell? How did we end up here? Thanks a lot, Pandora.
Well, was it all Pandora songs, or did you go on YouTube? YouTube, right?
It was Pandora for Chili Peppers.
Shower.
And then Hotel California.
Yes.
And then because I want to listen to this particular Eagle song, I went to YouTube to find it. Just to get to quick and easy access to it.
Yes. Everybody goes down YouTube rabbit holes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, sometimes it's fun on the weekends to start on watching whatever you want to watch on YouTube. It can be music videos. It could be interview. It could be whatever. Have a couple drinks, and you'll start going down these rabbit holes. And then the next day, you look at your YouTube search history, and you try to figure out how you got from one place to another. Like, okay, well, I started on Kevin Nash and I ended up on Britney Spears. I don't know how. And then you got to just try to follow the
logic.
The logic,
Have you ever done that just like with internal monologuing? Like you're driving, down the road, or you're at your office or something like that, and you get to thinking about this thing, and 5 minutes later, you're like a holiday world and you're thinking about roller coasters and you're like backtracking in your mind. How the hell did we get to roller coasters? And
absolutely.
It's the brain is a funny thing, man.
You know what's funny? I just recently learned that apparently some people don't internal monologue, and I don't know how that must be a great life.
I saw something recently from a friend of mine, someone that I've known. It's 2020, so I've known her since college, almost 20 years.
Right.
And, just follow up there, she's got a bus full of kids, and you know her husband's awesome. You know, okay. Their quick story is they were high school sweethearts.
Oh,
so they've been, you know, they've been together for 24 years or whatever.
Damn.
You know? And so you know they got the bus full of kids, but she said like it was a concern, a legit concern. She's like, I don't think in complete sentences. Like, I don't think I've ever had a complete sentence internal monologue in my life.
Yeah,
I'm like, how do you function?
Well, I don't know if I have complete sentences either.
I don't know if you speak in complete sentences.
I usually don't. You know what? I listen to this podcast, like everybody should, and there are so many times that I stop saying what I want to say.
Because
like,
Greg interrupts.
No. Well, I mean, sometimes, yeah. No. Actually, you rarely interrupt. I usually interrupt. But also, I know what I want to say, and so in my mind, I stop like usually like a word short. I notice that whenever I listen to it.
I'm going to be fascinating on that now because I've never, not to say I listen to the podcast when we record it.
Right.
I don't go back and listen to it. I download it. I make sure we get the numbers.
Okay, good.
You know, yeah. for all of our sponsors yes, that they need. Yes. But I guess I've never caught you just ending the sentence, you know, one word.
I do it more often. Nice. I do it more often than I realize, but it's not every time.
Well, should we pitter patter and get at her?
Let's do it. Should we open up the book?
Yes. Let's go to our book,
The League of Regrettable Superheroes,
by our good close personal friend
John Morris. Now, full disclosure, I already opened up the book, but it was a random page, and I read some of it because, look, sometimes when we open this book up and I try to figure
out what's... It's a crapshoot. Yeah, or sometimes
it's a lot of silence.
And another peek behind the curtain, while Mike's reading this, I'm trying to also find this character online, and I couldn't really find anything definitive, so I found a different character by the same name, so you go first.
All right, so this one is Nemesis. It was created by Richard E. Hughes and Pete Costanza. It debuted in Adventures into the Unknown, 154, American Comic Books, February 1965. So this guy, he was a police detective named Steve Flint, and he was pursuing a mob boss called Garotti, and he gets run over by a train. So he goes to the afterlife, and he basically talks to the Grim Reaper. Yes.
Speaking of getting run over by trains, did you see that little viral video that went around this week? It's some like instant karma, and it's a guy. It's like I think it's a bus or train station. It had to be a train station, and somebody goes and like tries to take a lady's purse. Yeah, she's, you know, struggling back, trying to hold on to it. And he's like, well, lost cause. And he turns, like, and runs and then gets smacked by a train.
Okay, that is instant karma. Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen it, but...
And nobody seemed to be too concerned about the guy.
Yeah, I can, you know, I mean...
All right, go on.
Don't steal, okay? Don't steal.
Don't be that person.
Yeah, don't be them. So anyway, the Grim Reaper basically says, yeah, I'll give you your life back, kind of. And so now you guys can't see this, but he has a very ridiculous outfit on.
Okay, I'm going to try to use my comic book knowledge to describe. First of all, he's got the swashbuckler boots.
Yes.
No pants.
Right, no pants.
He's got what are probably black little wrestling...
Speedos,
yes. Yeah, wrestling shorts on. He's got the swashbuckler gloves, red tights shirt with an hourglass on it.
Right.
And a hood that, honestly, when I saw it, because I thought that was an ear, I almost thought it looked like a... I want to say Wildcat, but I'm not 100% sure that's right. But it looks like almost looks like Deadpool's mask without the front part of the mask.
Okay.
Like it's got the little nubbin.
The nubbins. Yeah, it's got some nubbins.
So that's Nemesis.
Yeah. So his powers, they say his power, he's basically omnipotent. I got that word right. He has super strength. He can fly. He can turn invisible, walk through walls, and he can change his size, read minds, and travel through time. So basically whatever the writer needs him to do.
That sounds like an early, especially with, you know, like the Grim Reaper mm-hmm. aspect, but it, you know, almost sounds almost like DC's Spectre.
Okay, yeah.
When you read, I want to say it's Kingdom Come, you see, you know, he's in Kingdom Come, also famously in Kevin Smith's Green Arrow run, like in Quiver, when he's kind of portrayed by Hal Jordan. But, you know, he can grow to immense sizes. You know, he's immortal, you know, and so there's, you know, the strength that comes with it. But, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Now, yes. I just want to pass that one. He does have vulnerabilities, though. this is what it says. Wait, where is it at? All these powers came with limitations, however. Despite being dead, Nemesis still apparently had to breathe. So he had to be wary of poison gas and drowning. And he had an excessively strong illumination. Wait, exposure to excessively strong illumination turned Nemesis into a powerless weakling, vulnerable to mortal weapons. Now I'll tell you the last thing. And this is going to be a sad one for you, Greg, because yes,
I'm. Tell me.
After a respectable few years battling evil on Earth while balancing the ultimate long distance relationships, Nemesis hung up his hood for good. Presumably, he retired to the unknown, where he is still waiting for his death certificate to be processed.
He retired to the unknown, mm-hmm. and he debuted in Adventures of the Unknown number 150-something.
Oh, it's a circle. He's stuck in a loop.
Meanwhile, while we're talking about Nemesis, let's turn the clock forward almost 60 years. In 2010, Icon Comics, an imprint of Marvel Comics, released a 4-issue miniseries called Nemesis. And it was written by Mark, I always say it's Millar, it might be Miller, drawn by Steve McNiven. And Millar described it as, what if Batman was the Joker?
Okay.
And you see the cover art courtesy of our friends at Wikipedia, the most accurate of all the internet
sites. Never get it wrong.
And it says it's cover art for Nemesis number 2, and it is a white clad. You don't have the bat insignia. You don't have the bat ears, but you have kind of about everything else.
But all pure white.
All pure white. Yeah. I mean, nothing like a complete face mask, not just a cowl.
Right.
So I've never read Nemesis, but I'm curious. You know, I do like Elseworlds alternate takes on things. It's why I enjoyed like Flashpoint,
right?
And some of the tie-ins. Like there was a Flashpoint Batman that discussed. You know, like are you familiar? I mean, you've seen Flashpoint,
yes. Yeah.
So I'm sure everybody listening to this has seen Flashpoint. Or read it. I've done both. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. But in, you know, like the alternate world that happened when Barry runs back and saves his mom from Reverse Flash, and kind of in doing so undoes his flashness. You know, he's got to recreate that lab experiment. But you find out that in Crime Alley in Gotham City, it wasn't Thomas and Martha Wayne that were killed by Joe Chill or whoever, right. It was Bruce, and that kind of hardened Thomas to fight crime, and you kind of get a glimpse that Martha became Joker.
Yeah.
So that was, it's an interesting take, yeah. And as long as, maybe I'm just a comics purist, maybe I'm old and set in my ways, and probably both. But as long as it doesn't like dramatically change canon. You know, like that's clearly an alternate.
If it's,
it's not like Martha Wayne was really the Joker.
Right, right.
Or was Joker's mommy.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about Nemesis. I'm going to have to talk to Brian or Tim at Twilight Comics,
Swansea, Illinois.
And and see if I can acquire Nemesis in its entire format.
Yes.
So anyway, that's Nemesis.
You know who introduced me to Flashpoint Paradox, the film, is friend of the show, Kevin Smith.
I can see that.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Kevin Smith. Speaking of Kevin Smith, you know, he made a movie last year.
No, he didn't. No, just kidding. Yes, he did, Greg.
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Rabbit.
And after we recorded last Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
On Sunday, we went... No, did I have it? I think I did have it on Saturday.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I
didn't give you... hadn't watched it yet.
I hadn't watched it yet. And I don't know why I didn't give you the hard copy to watch at that time, but...
I like the way we did it this way.
It works. But anyway, we both had the opportunity over the past week to watch Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yes.
After I watched it, I did a Sunday night. I did a little video for YouTube.
You sure did.
And you can subscribe to Nerds United Show on YouTube.com.
How do they find us? And by the way, if they try to search Nerds United, there's like a shit ton of Nerds United.
YouTube.com/Nerds United Show.
That's what it is? Okay, perfect.
That's why I said Nerds United Show on YouTube.
But you got to... They might try to search Nerds United Show.
I have to
show.
Spell it out for
yes.
them.
Okay. http://www.youtube.com/Nerds United Show.
I'm not going to spell it for
like
you.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah. So anyway, start to finish, I was laughing. There were moments of like, first of all, I think it's some of his best writing that he's done.
Okay.
I have a favorite scene that I want to reveal here in a little bit, but anybody, you know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was the first DVD I ever owned.
Okay.
And I had it before I had anything to play it on. Like, I had the DVD before I had a DVD player for myself. Like, I remember watching it on my mom's laptop.
Okay, at least, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it wasn't like, why isn't this working in the VCR, Dad? Because you're a moron.
Greg's just staring at it, trying to, if I spin it enough, can I see it?
I was holding it to my head, hoping to see it through osmosis.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But, Strike Back was the first DVD I ever owned. Now, since then, I've spent way too much money on way too many DVDs. But
I know how many movies you have in your video account. That's a lot of them. I was like, oh my gosh, it's still scrolling.
Those are just the ones that I could find the digital codes for. There are hundreds.
By the way, don't change your password because I'm going to watch a lot of them.
Hey, you want to watch The Hobbit, you do it.
That's one of them I might.
Anywho, it's been almost 20 years since we had a View Askew movie. We got, Red State. We have two of the three movies from the True North trilogy in Tusk and Yoga Hosers, which I kind of liked Yoga Hosers.
Okay.
I didn't dislike Tusk. It was just goofy. I mean, it was weird. But this was like, these were the characters, you know, like when I was getting into Kevin Smith, these were the characters that I was, you know, following, and, you know, it's, Banky and Holden and obviously Jay and Bob, and you have Dante, no Randall. That's, you know, maybe,
true, yeah.
I think maybe that might change down the road.
I think for Clerks.
I think there's Clerks 3 coming out.
Yeah.
Brody's Secret Stash. I have a buddy nicknamed Brody, I think just because of the Kevin Smith movies.
Is he named Brody because of that? Or is he your friend because his name is Brody? And you're like, I need a Brody.
He's named that, I think.
Oh. Okay.
I'm going to try to do this in a non-spoilery way, but I think I can give away parts of the plot. Look.
We can spoil it. Let me do non-spoiler first, and then we can spoil it.
All right.
Yeah.
So the genesis of the plot is, hey, Jay and Bob find out that there's not only a movie, a reboot remake, and there's a lot of discussion in the movie about the difference between a reboot and a remake. But they find out that you know, Bluntman and Chronic movie from 20 years ago is being remade, or rebooted, however you want to phrase it. And in signing their agreement, they also sign away their names and can't you be called Jay and Silent Bob anymore. Right. The movie studio now owns those names. So they're on a mission to Hollywood to get their names back. And they stop in Chicago and run into Shannon Elizabeth, who, by the way, still looks
incredible.
I'm glad you said that. And coming to find out, Shannon Elizabeth has a daughter who is probably about 18, 19 years old.
Yes.
About the time that she was hooking up with Jay in Strike Back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You come to find out that that's Jay's daughter.
Yes.
Spoiler.
That's in the trailer.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And of course, I can't remember the character's name. Shame on me.
Millennium Falcon.
Maybe because it's not a real name.
That's true. Not even close to one.
Played by Harley Quinn Smith, Kevin's daughter.
Which also would be like, if I didn't know better, I'd be like, well, that's also not a real name.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I've seen her, I saw her in Yoga Hosers. I haven't really seen her in acting in many other roles. I thought she did a really good job. Like, the really heavy scenes where you needed that emotion out of her, I thought you got that.
Absolutely.
And honestly, the same with Jay. I mean, Jason Mewes, I thought that he did.
Yeah.
It is really weird and meta to have Silent Bob in the movie and Kevin Smith.
Yes, yes.
I have a favorite scene, and we'll talk about it now. I think my favorite scene is when Ben Affleck his conversation with Jay and Silent Bob.
I liked that one, but there's my take on the movie. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would because, and we both love Kevin Smith.
True.
But I did not like Tusk at all. I thought no offense, Kevin Smith, you make great movies except for that one. But anyway, I didn't like it. Didn't like Yoga Hosers. And when the preview for Jay and Silent Bob reboot came out, it was, okay. It was like, the joke is going to be they're doing the same jokes over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the joke of it, right? And that's going to get old within 10 minutes, right? And they do kind of redo the same jokes.
They hit some of those beats.
But it's better than I thought it would be. Way better than I thought it would be. Like, I got to give it credit.
I like the part where Jay, you know, when Millennium Falcon and her friends all get together and they're like multicultural and Jay says, "What are you like, international jewel thieves?"
Right?
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just straight out yeah. of you know that first run in. So it was pretty fantastic.
I think they did maybe one too many jokes that were like, "Hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, remember this from? Hey, remember? Huh?"
I remember. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and there were a lot of those times where, you know, like the actors broke the fourth wall. We're like,
There's right,
like particularly when it's Affleck and Damon, and they're talking about, you know, like you do the safe picture, and then you do, you know, the daring picture.
Right,
they
right.
says sometimes you do the movie for your friend who says you owe him one.
Yeah,
and they look
yeah,
at the camera like,
yeah,
hmm?
Yeah. But the only reason I mentioned that is because of the scene with Ben Affleck. I really liked, but I think they did one too many jokes at the end. Like, cause at the very end, after a very like kind of emotional, very poignant speech he has about
fatherhood or parenthood,
and how about this is his daughter, and you know it's not about his life anymore.
I loved it because they talk about. In the storytelling, you know, there's the three act structure.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he says, the best part is you're not worried about your third act anymore. You're worried about her first act.
Right, right.
You know, and as you know, you probably have experienced this as a dad of a teenager, but you know, my son's 4 and I'm like, damn, Greg, you're a selfish asshole.
I've said that several times. Yeah.
He's so right.
And then about myself too.
Oh, okay.
But it's a very, so it was a very good scene, but then they ended it with like too many like wink and nudge jokes because he was talking to his daughter, and he's like, said something about, oh, it's the Just Us League. And then, oh, you're like, Argo, fuck yourself. And I'm like, what happened was Kevin Smith was writing and said, ooh, this is a good joke. Ooh, this is a good joke. Ooh, this is a good joke. And he didn't know which one to pick. So he put them all in there.
And there was a joke about Martha, too.
Yes, yes.
I had to laugh at
yeah.
that one. He's like, why is that name important?
Yeah.
I mean, kudos at the same time to Affleck for being able to laugh at himself.
Yes.
You know, and I think, you know, that's, I mean, I'm sure that's kind of rare in Hollywood. I think Ricky Gervais, you know, explained that.
Did you hear about how Kevin and Ben Affleck got back together? Because apparently they hadn't talked in years.
Well, I think Kevin almost died. And, you know, when you almost die, you start mending fences.
Well, that's part of it. But apparently Ben Affleck, as they were already shooting, and Ben Affleck was doing a press junket for Triple Frontier, which is like a Netflix show. And I guess somebody mentioned to him, and he said something like, hey, you know, Kevin Smith is making, you know, Silent Bob reboot right now. Has he reached out to you? And apparently Ben Affleck said, no, he hasn't, but I'm free. And Kevin Smith, you know, other people told Kevin Smith about it. And Kevin says, yeah, that's just a nice thing you say at press junkets. You know, what is he going to say? Fuck that guy. You know? True. And then I guess Jason Mewes was like, we'll reach out to him. You know? And I guess he was like, he wrote something on Twitter. And then they're like, no, don't tweet something. Like, text him. And he's like, well, I have four numbers. You know?
Text them all.
Well, he goes, they're like, pick one. So apparently he just texted. I forgot what he said to him. But it was basically inviting him on there, and then he said yes, and yeah. So I was like, oh.
So what you're saying is,
Kevin Smith.
I thought you were going to say have a heart attack, almost die, and then text Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Okay.
You only need to do one of those things. You decide which one.
Text Ben Affleck.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, because no offense to medical technology. It's great. It's going to pay a lot of our bills in the very near future.
Yes, yes.
However, I do not want anything going from my groin up to my heart like they had to do with Kevin.
Nothing? You don't want anything going from your groin
not
to your heart?
Internally.
Okay. I'm just saying, okay.
Well played.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Reboot was... I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I like I said, I liked it. I was. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I didn't go to the movie theater to watch it. And I didn't have to pay anything at all.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. But it was very
pay in other ways with your friendship.
Yes. Whew, that was a close one.
I've only had one beer. I'm not ready to make such brash.
That's true. You do have the American honey in there still.
Yeah, and it's going to stay there till next Thanksgiving. I don't really think we need to spoil it.
I think you mentioned in your YouTube video, it's more emotional and at times more mature than you would think a Kevin Smith movie would be.
And at times, it's exactly what you expect.
I was going to say there's a lot of jokes about dick and weed and sex, you know. But
I laughed right at the beginning when it's the quick stop, and right next to quick stop is Cocksmokers.
Yeah,
it's a chicken joint. It's a baked chicken place.
Yeah,
no. It's not. So anyway, that's Jane Silent Bob's reboot.
Reboot.
And someday. And this is just me being selfish as a podcast fan. Someday Kevin will be off the road and making more Hollywood Babylons and Fat Man Beyonds.
Yes.
Someday.
Someday. One day. One day he'll be a guest on Nerds United.
God, that'd be terrific. What else do we have going on? You know, go ahead.
We're going to talk about the Robat Bat and Bat suit.
We should talk about
that. All right.
Robat. We didn't put nearly enough stuff on Facebook this week. You realize that?
There hasn't been a lot out.
Mike, there are websites that all they do is make stuff up so that people can talk about it. You need to find those.
Oh, I know all of them.
Okay. So yeah, let's talk about Robat Bat and Bat, which, by the way, is still terrific.
Yes. I also I tweeted that on I shared Weekly Planet's tweet about the suit, and they liked my tweet. So,
well, they liked the tweet that said Nerds United Show in it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean,
they're aware of us now.
Yeah. They kind of, they probably want to be on the podcast. Although they're in Australia, so the timing might be a little off.
I've talked to somebody in Ireland before.
Do they have an Irish accent?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Girl?
No.
Oh, not as nice.
That was also in the first, I think, year of the podcast. So, you know, if we do this now every week, almost every week, mm-hmm. in the first year, I think I got like 15 episodes.
Okay.
So go back and find that. But I had to, because of the time difference in schedules, I had to like get up and record at 6 or 6:30 on a Sunday morning.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought. I mean, it's early. I wouldn't want to do that. But I thought you were going to be like at like 2 o'clock in the morning you had to.
No, that'd be that's not going to happen. So the only other nugget of news, at least that I saw that I shared with you, does not affect me at all.
Same.
And that is that it is reported, and this was almost a week ago now, or over a week ago now, but I shared it to you earlier this week, so that's how mm-hmm. recent it is. Reported PlayStation 5.
PS5.
Which, I mean, I figured it was only a matter of time until that was made.
Yeah.
And will cost around $450 per unit. And the console, I guess that's to make. And then they're going to you know, the so when I was in the car business, it was like the invoice is $450 and the MSRP is $500.
Right.
So that's what it's going to be, is $500. And you know what I don't have lying around? $500.
On an unrelated note, I'm going to have to need a $500 advance on our sponsorship money.
Yeah, totally unrelated. Tell you what, as soon as we get some sponsors, I'll let them know, hey, we need that cash up front.
That's right.
For Mike.
Yes.
Mike, who just 3 months ago got a PS4.
I was going to say, well, it was about a year, maybe a year ago. I think it was for Christmas. Not last year, but the year before, I think.
It cracks me up because I was an Xbox guy.
Yeah.
You know, when I got
X'd up.
And then it was Xbox 360.
Yeah,
same. Which I got around 2008.
Right.
Sometime in that year. And that was the last Microsoft product I bought, you know, from the console.
Yeah.
And then I got a PS3. And then I got the PS4, which we have. And the PS3 is like, I don't, like, we talked earlier about I didn't have a DVD player. Like,
yeah.
I still don't have a DVD player or Blu-ray player. I just use my gaming console.
Yeah.
That's what I've always done. I use the PlayStations now more for the streaming services than to actually play video games. Like, I don't play video games at all.
Oh, I do.
There's only one that I would want to play, and it's the Star Wars game that came out late last year. But at the same time, it's like, when am I going to have time to play video games?
Yeah, for you, I can understand, you know.
I was finishing up the Uncharted series.
Okay.
And I was playing that, you know, like I'd play it for a half hour or an hour after I put my son to bed.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, all right, besides Nerds United, I record or produce 5 other podcasts. And that just, you know, like I put him to bed and, you know, he's like, come hang out with me, like read a story or, you know, lay down with me until I fall asleep. Because, you know, he's maybe his, whatever. And I'm like, sorry, buddy, I got work to do. You're going to have to figure this sleep thing out on your own. And you're going to have to do it soon because I can't lay in his bed. I'm old and broken, and I can't wait to get a new job.
Closer?
Yeah.
Okay. We talked last time, so I mm-hmm. figured.
Yeah. We can talk off air about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not newsworthy for the Nerds United folk. Yeah. So anyway, 5 bills for a PlayStation 5. Are we getting a little crazy on that?
it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, I don't remember what PS4s were when they first came out, but it really all depends what it has to offer and what games are going to come out with it, of whether or not it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be a big seller, but if there's, it has to have, I think, a big game attached to it where it's like, you need to get this, you need to get a PS5 because you want this game.
Well, it's interesting that you said you weren't sure what the PS4 was. $400.
Okay.
And even, this is funny, comicbook.com says, back in 2013 at a very wallet-friendly $400. Yeah. I'm like, whose wallet? Not mine. That's why I didn't pay for mine.
Stole it?
I earned it in other ways.
Oh, okay. I see.
All right, so here's a fun story on that. When I sold cars, I sold the Chrysler brand, and you know, as long as you take all the training and you know, or quote unquote certified sales associate, if you reach a certain threshold of like units sold, like if it's 25 Jeeps or 25 Chrysler or 25 Dodge or whatever, you earn points. Like if you get that 25, it's 100,000 points.
Okay,
you could turn those in for prizes. So,
okay.
My PS4, my iPad, I've got a KitchenAid mixer.
Nice.
Stand mixer. I've got an electric smoker. Those are all things that Chrysler paid for.
Do you use
And then I had to be taxed on it. But damn it.
Do you use your smoker a lot?
Nope. Because the heating element went out on it.
Ah, okay. Because that's one thing, like, as I get older, now, granted, I'll probably never have a house, so this will never happen, because I don't think you can use a smoker, like, in my apartment.
Probably not in your apartment.
Not even in the lawn, you know, on the lawn. Mm-hmm. But
don't you have a grill? I mean, don't people in apartments have grills?
They do, and I don't even know if they're allowed to have that. Really? I used to have one. Hmm. But I don't know. That's one thing I would want to get into, I think, is smoking. But also, now the bad thing is going to be just me by myself, maybe Nolan. And usually you smoke like a lot of meat. So like, I can't just be like, put a chicken breast on there.
It'd take a long time for a chicken breast.
Yeah.
You can smoke like chicken wings.
Yeah.
I know one of my favorite things to do, like I'm a big rib guy, you know, baby backs.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can do, do a rack of ribs and look, Mike, you're going to put down a rack of ribs by yourself.
I think I can.
So.
This old belly can. What's your favorite way what's the best way to make ribs? If you had your choice.
The best way to make ribs if I had my choice.
Yeah, cooking wise, not actually making ribs.
Like pulling them out of my side. Yes. First of all, you have to peel off the what the hell is it? I can't think of the proper term, but there's like film is not the right word, but it's something that it's like connective tissue on the back of the ribs. You peel all that out, and that helps the meat kind of separate a little bit as you're cooking it. I like to get, a bunch of my seasonings and spices and herbs out and just give it a rub. And then I will put it in the smoker and probably hit it with some sauce very late.
Really? Nice.
Like so, but I've also done like a pork roast for some nice pulled pork.
Yeah, yeah.
I did a brisket once.
Brisket is good.
Brisket's so good.
Yes.
And I did a chicken one. One time when my boy was just a few months old, we actually put the smoker in the back of my pickup truck, drove it to my mom and dad's, and my wife and my mom went out to like a little spa day.
Yeah.
And so it was just me and my dad and my son, nice. Just those boys. And we put, I put a couple of chickens in the smoker. And that was fun.
Live or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And what they did was they defeathered themselves and killed, and then they killed themselves.
Well, yes. That's
and good. Then they cooked themselves.
Delicious. That's fresh. Yeah. That is fresh.
They knew just the right time. You're like, okay, we're just about to die. So we're going to open up the door, put a little butter on our back.
I can see that like in a cartoon.
I'm sure Bugs Bunny did that. Something similar. He'd always hop in the big cauldron and think he was taking a hot bath. You're like, what's this, potatoes and carrots?
I was saying somebody would start cutting carrots up.
Good times. I wish, like, our cable package doesn't include Boomerang, so my son really doesn't have any concept of who Bugs Bunny is or any of the, like, the Looney Tunes. But he's all about Mickey Mouse, man, and Sonic the Hedgehog, which we talked about last week, which, by the way, was the number one movie.
68 million.
And you are welcome, Sega Pictures.
Yes. It's
my $16.
Oh, I thought you said, like, they... It's just $16, yeah, but also it's number one because you talked about it.
Oh, yeah, that too.
On the podcast.
Oh, sure. It was a fun movie. So I heard only good things about it from others that I talked to. So do we have anything else? I feel like...
Oh, the only other thing, because we're talking about the Robat Bat and Bat Suit.
Yeah, we kind of just jumped right over that.
Yeah, which now Greg's going to label this talking about Bat Suit or something.
No, we're probably going to be like... Smoking meat.
Yeah.
Smoking meat with Mike and Greg.
I like it. So I heard a rumor, and I don't know where this rumor started, but about the bat symbol. Well, actually, two rumors. Number one, not about the bat symbol. Number one, in this iteration of Batman, they might actually talk about what happened to his parents.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No, the bat symbol, rumor has it that it will be made out of the gun that killed his parents, like pieces of the gun.
There is in, I want to say it was like the 80th anniversary of Batman or
yeah.
Detective Comics number 1000 or whatever it was. They had a little anthology book put together and the one, and they had, you know, some of Batman's, you know, greatest writers writing, and I believe it was the one that Kevin Smith wrote.
That's what I thought. Yes,
And it was so it'd be kind of an interesting little nod to K. Smith, if you know that was the case. But Bruce Wayne is, you know, searching high and low, you know, auctions, things like that, and finally acquires the gun that killed his parents.
Yes.
And everybody's like, why? Why would you want to do that? And I think the reasoning that he gave was, you know, I just want to make sure that this gun doesn't, you know, tear apart any other families or something like that. And then at the end, you see he melts it down and turns it into like a chest plate that he puts underneath, you know, his suit, like a piece of armor. Which is pretty cool.
I thought I saw a like comic with Shiv or something like that. And he says something along the lines of like, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but the gun that took my parents will now strike fear into the people that are bad or something like that. They probably put it in a better way.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
There's probably, although that would be great if that was the actual quote.
So, Robat Bat and Bat.
Perfect.
Such, we got you know, last week we talked about just a little tease video of the Robat Bat and Bat suit. And now today, Friday, we finally got our first images, like clear, you know, their production stills or behind the scenes stills, however you want to look at it. And I don't know. I'm not as high on it, this look, as I thought I'd be.
It's very mechanical.
But if you look at the bottom, it almost looks like soldier-y.
Yeah.
You know, I like the high ears. That's new.
Yeah.
You know, the high point ears.
I would have preferred your dog ears, though. that would have been good.
there's some definitive blades on the forearms.
Yeah.
Gauntlets, I guess is what they're called. And I don't know. That almost looks like... if he makes a fist, he's going to fire out little, you know, ink pens at you. Don't those look
probably,
like ink pens?
Probably look like bat pens. They call them. Yeah.
I like that. There's like goggles built into the mask. You know, like that's new.
Yeah.
I don't really think we've ever seen that. I mean, we've seen in maybe it was Batman and Robin where he gets like the little infrared,
right?
You know, the blue eye covers. No, maybe it was
Just
was it
Justice League? No.
Well, I was thinking one of the Batman like movies pre. I think it was The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
He's using like the phone communication the services,
sonar thing.
Sonar,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. So anyway, that. But this is like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't hate it. I liked last week's presentation of it quite a bit more. That utility belt is just chock full of silliness. Like, is that pepper spray?
I hope it's bat shark repellent or shark bat repellent.
Good pull on the bat shark repellent, man.
Thank you, thank you.
A friend of the show, Josh, and I were having a conversation because he sent me a picture very similar to this. In fact, it was the one that I sent you before I saw that you tagged me in or tagged the show on Twitter. And I can't remember how the conversation went, but I know that the 66 Batman series got brought up, and he said, you know, he had I said it was too, you know, too cartoony or something like that. He says, what? And he's sharing all these gifts, and one of them is Batman, like, carrying the bomb over his head running by the pier.
Yep.
And I said, like, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. So,
For this one, I like that it's practical, you know, because I would have guessed like some of it would be all digital or CGI and stuff like that, and maybe they'll add CGI to it.
I think this is a guess, this is pure speculation, but I think the only thing that they'll add CGI to that's probably the cape.
Probably.
You know, so you can have it flow the way you want it to flow, and not like get caught in the rear tire of the motorcycle.
Right, that's true. He gets yanked off. I know this is a production still because obviously they have two, I don't know, assistants or something talking to him, right? Or maybe that's the director, I don't even know. But I also thought it'd be funny if this was actually a scene from the movie because it looks like two like random people have just stopped him and he's like trying to give him directions somewhere.
Or they're trying to, he's asking them for directions.
That's true. He's like, look, the GPS on here is broken. And
Tell me which way did Colin Farrell waddle?
Yeah. Where is Crime Alley? Do you guys know where that is?
I am
lost.
Again, filming in England, which is unusual.
Yeah.
But I guess probably that was, you know, in Robat Pattinson's contract. Be like, look, I'm British. If you want me as your Batman, then we got to film on this side of the pond.
I don't think they wanted him that bad where they would have.
First of all, they're filming in London. You know, and yes. I know you can digitally remove, you know, like the Tower of London and Big Ben and everything else, but look, Gotham is supposed to be old, but it's not supposed to be as old as London. You know, so I think there's something about the age of the city, because Gotham is a very real character in the Batman universe, you know, in the Batman mythos, and I think you have to get Gotham right.
I think they will. I think.
Well, I hope for your sake they do.
I don't even think you're going to look at it and go, oh, that's clearly London.
Yeah, because they're not going to digitally remove the Eye of London.
Although it'd be funny if they have Big Ben in there, but they just slap like a bat symbol on it. Like, yeah, whatever.
I mean, you know, they did. I think it was Batman Begins, like the city part. You know, when they were in Gotham, was Chicago.
Yeah.
And for Dark Knight Rises was Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I think Dark Knight, I can't remember if it was, might have been a blending of multiple cities, but I definitely remember that Dark Knight Rises was Pittsburgh because they blew up Heinz Field. I mean, they had all of those beautiful bridges across the Three Rivers. Do you know the Three Rivers?
Yes. Billy, Ray, and Cyrus.
No. It's the Ohio, the Allegheny.
That's a made-up river.
No. You think that's bad. Wait till I tell you the last one. Monongahela.
No, clearly made up. You named one river.
The Ohio.
Ohio. The Ohio, the Mississippi,
and Amazon.
And the Amazon. Yeah, yes.
So there's five rivers in the world?
That's it.
Ohio, Mississippi, Missouri, Nile, and Amazon.
Named him.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Learned something new today.
That's going to be our headline. That's going to be our subject. Mike and the Five Rivers.
Mike knows stuff.
So we got nothing else. I think it's time to call it a night.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week, probably.
Yeah, we're going to have a video up, probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We'll get the video up this weekend.
And then a new one, and a new one.
Yeah.
And a new one.
And you too can take videos, Mike.
I can?
Yeah.
All right.
Not those types of videos, Mike.
Oh,
God. We're getting into what if questions now, folks.
What if I have an idea, like, oh, this would make a good video, and I have my camera, and I'm sitting down, right? So you only see my face, right? But you also happen to see like a toilet in the background, like a lid of a toilet tank. Is that fine?
Sure.
Okay. Good.
As long as it's like chest up.
Yeah, chest
with
up
with a shirt.
No, well, I mean,
please.
You don't think people want to see this hairy monstrosity?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll tease them with it. You know.
Hey. Theater of the mind.
Yeah, there you go. Let's
not reveal too much. Let's save a little bit of mystery.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
All right. He is Mike Luther, the co-host of the year, reigning and defending, undisputed.
Damn right.
And I'm Greg Mahochko, and I'm just the host.
Damn right.
This is Nerds United. Remember, we are on all of your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Play. Go ahead.
Stitcher.
Podbean.
Piddlebean. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, God.
That sounds like something my son would say. So anyway, Podbean, you're fired. Spotify and Google Play, among others. Be part of the conversation. Ask us questions. Interact. Comment on Facebook and Twitter. And leave a review. If you think we've earned a 5-star review, give us a 5-star. And don't just, leave the 5-star rating. Tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you don't like about the show. Maybe you want more Mike and less Greg.
Well, if we know who released a review, it's going to be the exact opposite. But no, leave us a 5-star review. And then if you want to complain, complain. Leave us a 5-star review and then complain about it in the comments. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here for you.
Yeah.
We will, any... constructive criticism you want to give us, give it to us on Facebook. Only glowing reviews on the podcast apps.
Yeah.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel, http://www.youtube.com/NerdsUnitedShow.
Bam.
We've got two videos up there with more on the way.
Damn right.
And we remind you this week and every week to be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.